I would like to sing for you a song. Somebody heard my son up front or somebody up front say, oh no. Who said that? Josiah. That's right. We know. We know. I know. Santa knows. Okay. It's a song you all probably know as well. You probably learned it in Sunday school when you were growing up. So if you know it, I would like you to sing along. I did the same thing with the seniors over in Cedar Brook a couple of weeks ago. Here's a song. Sing with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Hey, there you go. Not bad. If you didn't sing, you're getting coal in your stocking. That's how it works. Anyway, it's a very famous song. You probably learned it early on in your life if you were indeed a churchgoer. And it's rather simple, yet very profound. It speaks of Jesus' love for us. And we know Jesus loves us because, well, like the song says, the Bible tells us so. But let me ask a question. How do we know what the Bible says is true? In other words, how did Jesus prove his love for us? Are these simply words to a Sunday school song, or do they have some meat and meaning to them? Well, I'm sure there are different things that you can look at that prove Christ's love for us. I want to share two of them with you here tonight. The first one is this, and this might seem a little weird, but it works. Jesus came out of heaven and became a human being. Now, you might say, well, how does that prove his love for us? Well, think about it this way. Jesus lived in heaven. Remember, when he was born on earth, it's not like his life started then. His life as a human started then. But prior to that, Jesus always was. Matter of fact, he was never even created. Wrap your mind around that for a second. Don't do it for long because you may hurt yourself. The point, though, is that way before Jesus came to earth, he was in heaven. And heaven's a pretty good place. It's a place of peace. It's a place of love. The Bible says that God the Father is love. He is in heaven. Therefore, could you imagine the kind of love that is there? It's a place where Jesus had all power, worship, the praise of angels, the heavens declaring the glory of Jesus. Heaven is an awesome place. This is why many times if you go to a funeral and there is a believer who has passed on to be with the Lord, when I've done funerals, a lot of times I'll say, we're struggling here with our loss, but they don't want to come back. They're in a pretty good place because that's heaven. It's the best place there is in the universe. Earth, on the other hand, it's not bad, but there are times when it can be downright nasty. War, the rumors of war, sickness, disease, the loss of loved ones, broken relationships, loneliness. It's a place where sin rules. It's a place where the devil has a title. And his title is the prince of this world. Well, this was the world that Jesus chose to be born into. And he wasn't born as some kind of super powerful being who could just do what he wanted and was above all this nonsense. He was born as a baby. He needed someone to care for him, to feed him, to change his diaper, to wash him, to clothe him. This is the God of the universe. He leaves it all behind to come here. And as he got older, let me tell you, there are times when he really, really suffered. When I think about the ministry of Jesus, There was a group of men called the Pharisees. There was others with them, Sadducees, teachers of the law, some of the chief priests. And they did not like Jesus. And that was a bit of a problem because Jesus is Jesus, and these are the religious leaders of Israel. And so they accused him all the time, looking for a way to arrest him, ultimately to put him to death. That's what wound up happening. But could you imagine going different places, and everywhere you went, there was a group of these men looking to bring you down? Could you imagine the pressure he must have felt? Could you imagine the annoyance, the suffering of having to deal with these people? He had to deal with loss in his own family. We hear of Mary, his mother, at the cross. You don't hear about his stepfather Joseph, though, do you? No. That's probably because he passed away sometime when Jesus was younger. Jesus also lost his cousin, John the Baptist, and he lost him in a pretty bad way. He was beheaded. Jesus not only suffered accusation that he didn't deserve, Jesus suffered loss. He can identify with us. Not only that, but he was beaten. He was mocked. They punched him in the face. They ripped his beard from his face. They put the crown of thorns on his head. When they did that, well, his head probably ballooned to be about twice the size of what it normally was. They whipped him to an inch of his life, and then they made him carry the cross piece up to the hill called Golgotha. He couldn't even finish it. He was so beaten that they had to find a guy named Simon from the country of Cyrene to finish carrying the cross, and then they nailed him to it. Jesus knew suffering. Heaven, he had it all. He comes to earth, becomes a man, and he suffers. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to go through these things, but he did. And the reason he did is because he loves us. Which leads us, by the way, to the second way which he proved his love for us, and that is he died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that speaks of the love of the Father. But I'll tell you what, Jesus loves us in the same way. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are different, but they are the same. The same heart, the same love that God the Father has for you and for me and for the entire world is the same love that Jesus has for you, for me, and the entire world. And I'll tell you something, when Jesus was on the cross, he may have suffered in a way that nobody else ever has suffered. How? It's a good question. Jesus was not the only one who was crucified. History tells us that thousands were crucified on crosses. It was the method of execution for the Roman government. But when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that he had the sin of the world upon his body at that moment. Now, I don't know if I can fully grasp what that even means. I certainly can't fully grasp what that would feel like. But there he is, the very people who loved him have now driven spikes through him. They're gambling for his clothes, mocking him, seeing if he'd come down. And he did it because of our sin. He was the sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. So when any person, doesn't matter your culture, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you were born, how old you are, it doesn't matter. Any person puts his or her faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, all of your sin is washed away. And now, instead of eternal separation from God leading to destruction, the Bible says, now we have a restored relationship with him. And where he is, we will be. And as a believer, where you are now is where he is, because he lives in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's a win-win situation. No longer are you alone on earth. God is with you. And then when it's time for you to go home, whether you die and pass on to be with the Lord, or he comes back first, we'll be with him for all eternity. But I tell you what, there's a key thought there. Jesus did his job. We have to respond to it. We have to receive what he did by faith. If we reject Jesus, we reject the only way there is to to forgiveness of sins, we reject the only way there is to heaven. Still, getting back to Christ, why would he do this on the cross? I mean, if the accusation and the loneliness and the loss wasn't enough, why would he go to the cross? Why would he willingly put himself through all of that for us? Well, what's the song say? Because he loves us. Truly, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's good news, isn't it? It's the greatest news there is. It's the greatest story ever told. It is the story that leads to salvation, that leads to heaven. Can we stand together? I want to pray and stand at the same time. And after we're done with the prayer, just to give you a little heads up, I'm going to ask you to sit back down. Larry, I'm going to ask you, once we're done with the prayer, to turn off all the big lights and the small lights on the ceiling, because then we're going to celebrate Christmas with our candlelight service. We'll sing Silent Night. We'll close in prayer. And my hope and my heart for each of you is that this is a Merry Christmas, that you have a great Christmas with family, with friends, with loved ones, that maybe this is the Christmas that Jesus really comes alive for you. I don't know. But that's my hope for you. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, if there's anyone in here right now, just like I said back in when we were taking communion before, if they don't know you, if they've never put their faith in you, just remind them tonight how much you love them. You suffered for them. You died for them, that we could have life more abundantly and life everlasting. Jesus, you're not out to steal our joy. You're not out to give us rules and guidelines to make our lives miserable or to steal our freedom. You came to give us real freedom. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from bondage to lust, greed, pride. Those things that bring us down, that bring our marriages down, that bring our families down. And ultimately lead us to be separated from you. So Father, my hope and prayer is that tonight would be the night of salvation for someone. And if that's you, it's just a simple prayer. You can repeat after me. Father, I accept your son Jesus right now as my Lord and Savior. I put my faith in him. Forgive me for my sin. Thank you for dying for me on a cross and for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you're considering that and you're not sure if you're ready to take that jump, consider tonight what we talked about, Jesus' love, his sacrifice, and our forgiveness. You can talk to the Lord anywhere to put your faith in him. But Father, I also want to pray for us as a body of believers. You're not only the God who loves us, but you're the God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Go ahead and take someone's hand next to you right now, please. And as you're taking that person's hand, I want you to understand that this is what Jesus is doing with you. He's got your hand. He's on your right side, or you're on his right side. He is your king. He is your God. He is your friend. He is your elder brother. And he'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Father, we pray that 2017 would be the year that we know you better. It's the year that we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. It's the year where we develop our relationship with you. It would be a year of peace, love, and joy, and prosperity for each one of us in here, for this congregation, and any other congregations that are represented right now in this building. Prosper us, Lord, as the soul, or even as our souls would prosper. And Lord, use us continuously as a united body of believers to be the light of the world to those who don't know you. Lord, we lift up 2017 in this way, and we ask that these things would be done. Always reminding us of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. You may take a seat. If you have your candles, get them out. If you have young kids with candles, watch them, please. And you know what? Hey, Larry, can you turn off the small lights and those lights along the back too, please? That'll be great. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to light a candle. And then I'm going to give somebody that light on this side. I'll give it to William. You can pass it down. I'll give it to Bob. You can pass it down. And then they're going to sort of filter out, and you can get all of your candles lit as well. To me, it's a great representation of how Jesus gives us his light and how then we can share our light with one another. Perfect, thank you. I'm wondering if he wants the microphone. That's what I'm wondering. He'd take the microphone too. We should have put him in the choir. That'd be awesome. And as they come around and start lighting candles, we'll start the song Silent Night, at least tinkering around a little bit. And then once they're all lit, I'll have a stand and we'll sing the song in earnest. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. Let's sing this song together tonight. Take a look around real quick. I know we do it every year, but it's a pretty cool sight. And I will say this. This is Jesus. And this is us. We are truly the light of the world. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And I think the Lord's put this congregation on this hill for that reason. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for 2016. For the good, the bad, and the ugly, we know that in all things you work for good for those who are called according to your purpose and for those who love you. And we look forward to 2017, but ultimately we look forward to the fact that we are yours and you are ours. And we proclaim the name of Jesus in this place right now. We proclaim his name in the heavenly realms. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords, and he is coming again. Father, keep us. Lead us and guide us. Protect us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise Jesus.